In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is in our midst.
He is
in
our shadow.
Maybe you've heard of the 20-80 rule. In a parish of any given size, and this is done, this is almost a cliche in church growth and various areas when you're studying communities, they have what they call the 20-80 rule. And the 20-80 rule states that 20% of the people do the work or give to the church, and while you have 100% of a parish, and 80% do not participate in some way. So 20% do the work, and then the rest somehow are loosely affiliated. I'm not going to criticize y'all today, so you can relax. So you've heard of the 20-80 rule. And then we think about it, what the Christian faith is actually about. I'm not saying, I think statistically we're much better than 20-80. I think we're actually better than that in all areas. But there's a reason for this. There's a reason why 20% give and 20% and 80% may not. And then if we were to analyze the 20%, much of the 20% could be said giving and participating and doing, some for very generous reasons, out of the abundance of their hearts, they're participating. But many do it very grudgingly. So even within the 20%, not everyone necessarily wants to do what they do and participate the way they participate, to give the way they give. So statistically, we've gotten down to an even smaller number of people who actually feel full and give out of their gratitude and out of the abundance of their heart. Some are duty-bound. Some would simply feel guilty if they didn't. And then 80% are just not even bothered, at least according to this 20-80 rule. Now, today in the epistle, we hear about giving with generosity. The Apostle Paul is encouraging the Corinthians to give with generosity of themselves. And generosity is the spirit that actually should typify Christians. Generosity is a virtue, and it is at the core of everything we believe about God, and it is actually at the core of everything that we're supposed to be and supposed to embody, whether it be generous with our finances, our time, our talent, the various, with our ears, with listening to other people, in our service to one another, in our service to the community. Ultimately, Christians would be typified by being generous. But it's hard, and it doesn't happen. And I would say that to a much extent, as you were to go around churches, you would find that there is not a culture of generosity oftentimes, but a culture of lack, which reflects much of the culture we live in. Because most of us wake up in this culture and in our times, ironically, even though we live in one of the most abundant times, in one of the wealthiest countries, with the most resources, the most well-fed generations, so well-fed that we have the symbol of prosperity, big guts, this is wealth. But most of us wake up feeling as though it's not enough. We can say that we don't feel like we are enough. There's not enough time in the day. There's not enough energy to do for the things that we want to do. We feel, in many ways, our own souls become miserly because we feel pulled in so many different directions and so profoundly and so consistently and constantly. And so you have people with all sorts of disorders that have to do with their self-hatred because they're not enough. They don't have enough time. They're overwhelmed. Now, that's not to say that people aren't committed to various things. I don't have enough time to do certain things, like read, but I do have time to watch the game. And I do have time. So priority-wise, within our culture, it's not that we might not have enough time or enough resources. It's that oftentimes our priorities are focused on comfort. We think that much of our time should be spent in some sort of relaxation, at peace with nothing bugging us, and somehow zone out from it all. And this are, you know, not everybody feels these ways, but these are the things that pull on the hearts of your, I believe, the average person. They certainly pull on my heart. And what it leads me to do in my own personal life is that I don't have enough time for people. I don't have enough money to give. I don't have enough attention to pay attention when that's needed. And ultimately, it builds in on itself. And when it comes to being generous, oftentimes our own hearts are miserly. We're stuck on ourselves and we're not actually giving of ourselves in any meaningful way. So there is a context to the 20-80 rule. And it's so much worse if we're not prayerful people. It's so much worse if we're not dedicated in any way to the church or actually taking the Christian faith seriously. But the Apostle Paul, addressing this issue, says to the people and speaks to them about generosity. And so for us, it behooves us to think about our lives and to begin to contemplate where our priorities are at. To first of all analyze ourselves and ask ourselves if we are generous people. And I'm not specifically talking about money, but are we generous? Are we open to having people in our home? Are we open to going to other people's homes? Are we hospitable to strangers? Do we have time to actually take and really listen to people, to be with people? Do we also give financially, generously? When there are volunteers, are we playing a game of Russian roulette where we wait for someone to pull that awful trigger and get stuck with the duty? What have we prioritized instead of being generous in our lives? My wife has said many times, many hands makes light work. What does it say about a church? That's a good phrase. Many hands make light works. But what does it say when the core of the people of any given church is exacerbated with the work they have to do? What does it say when any Christian community stand there and the feeling you get from the people is one of absolute emptiness? Well, it might say that they're not being filled. Because it is out of our abundance that we give back to God. It is out of our abundance and our thankfulness. We might say that people aren't thankful. Because thankfulness produces generosity. Well, each individual, of course, would be different. And that's for your own conscience to figure out. But it does say something. If you've ever encountered real hospitality and real generosity, and the funny thing is it comes from strange places. I know people who live in a subsistent way, who give constantly, who it's just by their very nature give. There are many stories of monks giving crusts of their bread and going without food. There are even stories in the Bible of this. But so we want to get rid of the idea that it's about our external circumstances and move towards the notion that generosity is a matter of the heart. Because even if you have nothing, You can give something. Another physically, food-wise, otherwise, there's always something. And there's a reward for it. And this is what the Apostle Paul mentions today. When we give, we get back. Not because we're manipulating God, but because it fulfills something. Because while we're giving, it opens us up to receiving as well. But not of a grudging heart, because God, it says, loves a cheerful giver. Not of someone coerced by duty or coerced by some sense of guilt or obligation, or someone who just got beat up enough by the priest so that they'd feel like they had to do something. But giving out of an actual cheerful heart. So the Apostle Paul has laid down a challenge for us in regards to the generosity of our overall lives. May we take heed to this message and begin to pray that God would fill us. That He would, as the psalm says, make our cup overflow. So that our hearts wouldn't be so stingy. So that our hearts wouldn't be so stuck on themselves. And we could actually look out to the others and serve the other and pour ourselves out to the world as well. This is the type of cheerful giving that God requires. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is in our midst.
Yes.